So, aren't you happy that we have air conditioning today, right? For those of you who were last week, did not have air conditioning. So if you didn't come, maybe that was, you know, provision. But if you missed last week's message, I encourage you guys to go back and take a listen to it. So we started a new series called United. And what we're doing is we're going through the kind of our value statements here at True North. And so last week, Justin started us off with showing grace. And so this week, speaking truth is what we're all about. And we want to speak truth because the truth sets us free, right? And we want our people to thrive. That's what it says on the wall. On your way out, you can take a look at that. We have all of our values there. And so I'm really excited about this series because I feel like it's really going to ground us and kind of understand what this family is all about and what our focus is and what our drive is, right, to follow and obey our good Lord. And so it was interesting when I was doing some research about this, and I find myself fascinated with artificial intelligence. I don't know if any of you guys are into that, but where I work, I work in healthcare, and we have a lot of artificial intelligence bots that are automating a lot of what we do. I mean, all of your phones have it, right? The predictive text that you see, you know, like if someone sends you a message and then it pops up some suggestions, you're like, wow, that's kind of what I was going to say. I'll just hit that button. You know, that's artificial intelligence, that predictive text. And so, you know, it's been around for a little bit here, but it's really grown quite a bit over the last year or so with ChatGPT. Has anybody heard of ChatGPT? Some nerds in the house? Okay. And so there's a lot of artificial intelligence programs that are out there, but chat is all about the text part of it. And it was really interesting to kind of study, like, how did it start? Like, how did they kind of prop up this technology? And basically what they did is they had to teach it from a foundation of knowledge and parameters, right? And so 300 billion words in the English language and about 1 trillion parameters about how to understand and transform that information. And then the quantum side of the artificial intelligence is it kind of learns from itself, which sounds kind of spooky if you think about it. But it's growing at a phenomenal pace. And this kind of this core information that AI is built on, ChatGPT, is everything on the internet, basically. Everything that is of human origin. So articles, books, texts, messages, videos that are speech analytic transformed and transcripts from all of that. So basically the whole of everything that's on the internet is what's used for ChatGPT to answer the questions that you put in front of it. So as I was thinking about truth and kind of propping us up for this discussion, I thought, I'm going to just ask ChatGPT, what is truth? See what it says. So let me share verbatim what it said. It said, at its most basic level, truth refers to the correspondence between a statement or a belief and reality. In other words, if a statement accurately describes the way things are in the world, it is considered true. Ultimately, the question of what is truth is a complex and multifaceted one, and there may not be a single answer that satisfies everyone. Interesting, right? This technology that's taking the whole of the world and giving it a simple question, what is truth? And it's basically saying, really, ultimately, there's really not. You know, it depends. And as I was researching this, I've heard this term lately more and more, but called gaslighting. Has anyone heard of the term gaslighting? So gaslighting's been around since around the 40s, but what gaslighting is all about basically is let's say my wife slaps me. I'm sure I had it coming, first of all, to be honest. So, if she were to slap me and I would say, why did you slap me? And she would say, well, I didn't slap you. I was motioning my hand and you stepped into it. You hit my hand. And it sounds silly, but if she kept advocating for that and giving, you know, data and reasons for it and facts to the point where it started to change my mind and made me kind of think like, well, what did I just experience there? Maybe I did walk into her hand and maybe I'm a good guy after all. I deserve a slap, you know. And I just started thinking it. And after a while, I just kind of, you know, just like, yeah, I guess you're right. I'll have to be more careful when you're waving your hands around, you know, I don't get a slap. Because I obviously don't deserve one, you know. And so it sounds silly, but that's really what gaslighting is all about, and it fits into this because when something is presented as a truth, this concept, I think we're going to see it more and more and more, right? We already do, where that truth is being attacked, saying that is not true, that is not true, right? I mean, just think about in our church, right? Things that Justin's already talked about recently, you know, just man and woman, right? God's design for love, who we are, why we're here. You know, the church itself is struggling with these truths to the point where we're seeing where some of them are bending, where some of them are changing. Some artists and authors are starting to deconstruct their faith, saying, I guess I was wrong, because they've bought into these relative truths that are ultimately lies, right? So it's scary if you think about it that way, right? And kind of putting us in front of what does the world say truth is? How does the world respond to truth that it encounters, dismissing it all? And where does that leave us, right? As Christians, right? Following God's command, how do we follow this speak truth value that we're trying to reinforce here at True North? So I thought it was really interesting to kind of look at, first of all, the world and their perspective of the truth. But we as Christians, we have a lot of hope, don't we? We know what the truth is, right? And, you know, I have some scriptures here that'll help us remind ourselves of it in kind of a progression. So first of all, Romans 10:17, love this one, quite simple. It says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So to start off with, we know that the word of God is our truth, right? But faith has to get us there, right? Maybe a lot of us, when we first chose to put our hope and faith in Jesus Christ, or if we're still kind of wrestling with that, that's probably one of the big questions that you are or did kind of wrestle with a little bit, right? How do I know that this whole thing about God and Jesus is real? And you guys say this word of God is real, but it was written by man, and just, you know, going through all of that, right? All of that struggle. But first and foremost, faith has got to be a part of that, right? Faith, first of all, comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. And that'll grow that faith. And then in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to say in verse 14, the Word here became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word of God is truth. Jesus became that word, right? I mean, he was there the whole time. I remember the first time I thought of that, kind of blew my mind. Like, wait, in the very beginning, the word was with God and the word was God. And we know that the word was Jesus. So Jesus was there all along. For me, at least, it kind of blew my mind a little bit. That's the beauty and the mystery of the Trinity, man. Psalm 33:4 says, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. And then Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. So some people who like to debate may say, okay, well, you're using the thing to say the thing is the real thing. What's up with that? So I think a while ago, Justin gave a wonderful message. I can't think of the name of it now, but he talked about, you know, just the proof of the validity of the Word of God and the existence of God and Jesus' ministry here on the earth. But one part of that message that I want to remind us of is just the prophecies. So there's 1,817 prophecies in the book altogether, New Testament and Old. And about 300 of those prophecies are all about Jesus Christ. And he accomplished and fulfilled 33 of those just by dying on the cross. And so if you like math like I do, you think about the odds of one person fulfilling all of these prophecies that are 400 to over 1,000 years before he was even born. The chances of that, not that I did the math, but I found it. The chances of one person doing that specifically and perfectly is one in a trillion, 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 trillion. That's 13. Now, that's not 13 trillion. It's trillions of trillions. So it's basically one to the 20,000th factor, whatever the word I'm trying to, yes, power. Thank you. I know math. So that's a lot, okay? That's a lot. And those can be proven, right? And so it's amazing to think about just the beauty of that fact, right? So we accept it by faith. We hear about the word. We hear from the word. Like my heart is that you'll hear from the word today and that you'll walk out of here with a greater understanding and a boldness, you know, to share and speak the truth. And so that faith grows up in us. And we know, we are convinced, right, that the word of God is truth. It's flawless, it's right and true, right? And that should be our power, our motivation for speaking it, for obeying this command, you know, this vision that we're carrying on to speak the truth every single day. So again, back to our vision statement, which again is in the hallway. It says, speak truth because the truth sets people free and we want our people to thrive. So free from what? Well, really two things. First of all, from sin, right? James 8, 31 through 36 says to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now, this confused the Jews because they're like, I don't understand what you're saying. We weren't slaves. In fact, in verse 33, they said, we're Abraham's descendants. We never have been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we'll be set free? They don't get it. So Jesus goes on and says, verily, verily, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Praise the Lord for that truth, right? Free from the penalty, from the bondage of sin. And what comes to mind is Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is what? It's death, eternal separation and departure from our Lord and Savior. We're free from that. That's a terrible penalty that we're free from. Praise God for that amazing gift that we did nothing to earn, but God freely gave to us. But also I was thinking, well, what's the opposite of the word truth? Lies. So the truth sets us free from lies. Some of the things that I kind of started off talking about, a lot of lies, a lot of misperceptions, a lot of falsification of undeniable absolute truth. And I have this really neat story I want to dig into and share with you. And so this comes in Acts 19, starting in verse 13. And so this is during Paul's third missionary journey. And so this is like AD 52 to 54 is when he was in Ephesus. So sometime after Jesus. So Acts 19, verse 13, let's start this. So it says, some Jews went around driving out evil spirits. They tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all, gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. In verse 17, when this became known to all the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came openly and confessed what all that they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly, and when they calculated the value of the scrolls, it came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So I want to unpack this story a little bit and talk about what happened. You know, how did truth come about? How was it brought to everyone's minds, and what was the impact of this truth, the lies that it called out? So what's interesting is, first of all, in verse 13, it's talking about these Jews that were going around, casting out evil spirits. And this is actually the only time in the New Testament where the Greek word exorcistes, or exorcists, is actually in the New Testament. This is the only place where this is mentioned. And when it says they were trying to invoke these spirits, they were trying to basically call upon them, right? So these Jewish magicians trying to perform exorcisms. A little bit of history around what was going on at the time in Ephesus is this was a really common practice, and it was a very lucrative one, right? These magicians would sell talismans and formulas and incantations to people. So I imagine like Schmiel and Sons, you know, exorcisms, buy one, get one free, something like that, right? And so, you know, in the name of Jesus, they were saying, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And it says the seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priests, were doing this. And I did some research about, you know, kind of what was happening here and how common was it. And I found these really old Greco-Roman Egypt writings, this a collection of writings for magicians back then called the Paris Papyri. I assume Phil has heard of that because he's a professor and he knows these things, you know, but, you know, it was like, what is this Paris Papyri? And I thought it was really interesting, so check this out. It said this Paris Papyri, which dated from 100 BC to 400 AD, so this was a collection of magical spells and things like that that people were using, likely these Jews, they would actually use phrases such as, I abjure you by Jesus, the God of heavens, or I hail God of Abraham, hail God of Isaac, hail God of Jacob, Jesus Christus, what that is, Holy Spirit and Son the Father. And so these were all fake and false, right? But they were trying to use the power of just invoking that name to try to cast out demons and spread the word and make money, basically, is what they were doing. So it wasn't real. But in verse 15, what I love is, I envision these movies, you know, like where, you know, the hero who has like a squirt gun is shooting at the big boss guy, and he like turns around like, would you throw something at me? Like, and then he goes after them, right? I kind of get that visual in my head, because the evil spirit in this man, it says in verse 15, says, Jesus I know. This is the evil spirit talking. Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Quick little side note here. Isn't it interesting that the evil spirits even recognize who Jesus is, right? So knowing about Jesus, knowing about who God is, isn't quite enough, is it? It's believing. And after this, verse 16, the man who had the evil spirit jumped in them and beat the heck out of them, basically. And back in the 90s, there was this alternative Christian band called Black Eyed Sceva. I never knew what their name meant until much later. I'm like, huh, that's pretty clever. Didn't know what it meant back then, but beat the heck out of these guys, right? And now we see where this truth that ironically comes from this evil spirit calling out, the miraculous, you know, situation, this superhuman activity from this demon says, I know who Jesus is, and I've heard of Paul, but who are you? That obviously had a big effect on everybody, right? Especially people in the business. Schmiel and Sons were kind of freaked out. I think the value of their Jesus, you know, who Joseph preaches package probably, you know, just died off right then and there. So when it says in verse 17, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And here's the impact. The name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. And in verse 18, many of those who believed now came openly and confessed what they had done. So that already starts this big transformation of the heart. These guys were in the business of selling lies, right? Incantations, amulets, talismans, like, you know, and these formulas that were just fake, right? And they were making good money off of that. And for them to openly confess amongst everyone, that was a big sacrifice, because that's all done now. Their business is done. So it was a huge heart change for them. And what I thought was really interesting, in 19 it says, you know, a number of them practicing sorcery brought all their scrolls, this Paris papyri, other things, and publicly burned them. And it says the value came to 50,000 drachma. Now, a drachma back then, a silver drachma, was worth about a day's wages. And so, according to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, like around 2 years ago, the average daily salary here in the U.S. was around $30 an hour. My daughter's like, what? Wish I could get that. Just average overall, right? So you figure an eight-hour workday, that's $240 a day, times 50,000, that's $12 million, guys. $12 million of value that you just burned up. That's a big heart change, right? Can you imagine what that would look like today for somebody notable or famous or whatever, having such a massive transformation of heart that they sacrificed like that? But that's what truth does. It sets us free from lies, right? It sets us free from lies. That's why the lost are called lost. Makes me think of a road trip that me and my friend John were taking. And John's different than me. He's not as detail-oriented as I am, I'll put it that way. And we were doing a road trip, and we were taking turns driving. He said his turn to drive. We were going from, like, New Mexico up to North Dakota. I'd taken a nap during his shift, and I woke up, and I'm kind of coming to him, looking around, and I see a sign that says something like 20-some miles to Des Moines. I'm like, you know we're going east, right? We need to be going north. When I pulled up the map, because yes, that's how old I am, we had maps back then. I'm like, you were supposed to turn off way back here, and here he was like an hour east off of the path. But he didn't know it. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't know it. I was asleep. And even when I was awake, I didn't know we were lost because it's all flat there until I saw the sign, right? I'm like, that says we're going in the wrong direction. We are lost, right? And it's a silly example, but a lot of us are just lost in a lie until we see what? Until we see what the truth is, and that's where that freedom comes. These guys saw it through an evil spirit, which is really interesting, demonstrating that supernatural power, and a big change happened here, which is really awesome. So the truth sets us free from the burden and the penalty of our sin, but also sets us free from the lies, because it's our source of truth, right? Why wouldn't we measure everything against the Word of God? The more we do that, the more we will see that transformation and navigate the craziness that continues to happen in our culture of attacking truth and gaslighting and making it all relative anyways, right? So a couple questions then come to mind. So why should we speak the truth? Why? What's the motivation here? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. I love that. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's amazing. That's our Paris papyri, right? This is something that will rebuke, correct, teach me, equip me, train me, right? That's what this Word of God can do for us. The more that we are in the Word, we'll start seeing this growth. And the bottom line, guys, is the more that we know the truth, the more we can speak it. And we can't speak the truth if we don't know it, right? Have you ever been in a conversation with friends, coworkers, whatever, and you're talking about something, and you get into an area where you're like, yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. Now, if you're wise, you'll just be quiet. But sometimes you feel like you got to say something, right? And if you've ever been in that situation where you say a thing and it's totally off base, you know, those who know better look at you like, what the heck are you talking about, right? And, you know, I think of that. The more that we know the truth, the more we can speak it. And we can't speak the truth if we don't know the truth, if we haven't deposited it in our heart. Another reason why is we've got this amazing Jesus that we have to share, right? Such a great story, such great promises that we have available to us. We have to share this truth. First of all, his love. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, what did he do? He died for us. Wow. What amazing love that we just don't see without Christ. What about his forgiveness? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, washed white as snow. Wow. What about comfort? 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 says, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can then comfort those in any trouble because we received it from God. So we have a lot of reasons to share Christ. We also have this amazing hope that we have, right? Like the song that we just sang. We're sons and daughters of Christ. We've been adopted. We've been grafted into this amazing promise. It's amazing eternity that's just waiting for us. 1 Peter 1, 3-4 says, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So plenty of reasons why we should speak the truth. But, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, sometimes how we do it, it's not so great, right? I've heard of stories where Christians will pick it, or they'll get violent or get in arguments or fight people, for the truth of God's word. But I love this scripture here in 1 Peter 3:15 through 16. It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So that's hard, right? I mean, that righteous anger, which is okay, it's good, it's a good driver, but that can well up in us. And we need to speak the truth, but we need to always remember to do it with gentleness and respect, right? Right or wrong, I think of, in this example, how ads are just thrown at us all the time on our phones, right? I play Yahtzee, this game, and it's like every single match, pops up this ad to buy shoes or whatever. And I'm thinking, why would I buy something that you're just throwing up in my face like, oh yes, thanks for interrupting me and forcing me. I'm just going to go and buy that thing right now. And if any of you have done that, I'm sorry. I don't mean to throw some shade there. Pray for self-control. No, but I mean, gentleness and respect makes perfect sense. Think about Jesus with the woman at the well, right? Could have just came right out and called her out on her sin and and taken that approach, but he didn't, right? He showed her love, compassion, met her felt needs, her physical needs, and showed her that he was not like the others. He wasn't like the other men of the city. And that love and compassion before he shared the hope had a huge impact, right? And even in her, she went back to town and told everybody about him. So gentleness and respect goes a long way. Draw people with honey, not with vinegar. Is that what the saying goes, right? But there's truth in that. Sharing the love, right, is a huge thing. We've got our shirts and swag that you can buy on our site. Abide, love, and lead. Abiding in Christ, loving others like Jesus Christ did, and leading them to Christ, right? And so loving like Jesus did, that's how he did it, with gentleness and with respect. So in these last 10 minutes or so, I want to leave you guys with a challenge. I feel like I'm remiss if I don't do that, right? It's good to look at the Word of God, but I want to leave you with some challenges. And you may be thinking of, a couple of like, oh yeah, but what? So we'll talk about two buts. Sounds weird. But before that, 2 Timothy 2:15, I want to share with you guys. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. I love the King James version of this. It says, study to show thyself approved. And that word approved means acceptable or tried. So study to show yourself as acceptable unto God. a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're called to know the word of God. We have to know the truth in order to speak it, right? Rightly dividing it, correctly handling the word of God in order to speak it rightly. Sadly, we see where the word of God is manipulated and delivered in a way that's not in context, that's not right, to fit an agenda, right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So now to the buts, a couple of them. I heard this one actually not too long ago. I was talking with somebody and they were sharing how they want to share their faith with somebody, and they were in this setting, and they said, but I told them I didn't want to come across as judgmental or forcing my religion down their throat. And I'm like, hold on a minute. Let's talk about that. I think that's a truth, or that's a cause or concern or a fear, or a misunderstanding of love and compassion and gentleness and respect that we're kind of getting lost in a little bit. So I want to spend some time talking about that first, but 1 John 1:5-6, check this out. It says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. Light or darkness, one or the other. If you say that you have Christ in you, if you have the light in you, it needs to habitually come out of you everywhere, right? And everything that you say, everything that you do, even things that you think, that light should permeate you and change you in a way that it shows in everything. You're giving glory to God in the things you say. You're not hiding it, right? I think of that song I had in my head all morning too. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Second verse was, hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. For you non-farmers, a bushel is kind of like a muck bucket, you know, like a measurement of grain. It's about this big, that tall. My dad will watch this later. He'll correct me if I'm wrong. Is that right, Dad? So, I mean, that's like a bushel. So, you know, hide your light? No. We have the light of the Heavenly Father in us. We have an amazing destiny and promise and a hope of an eternity in heaven, not going to hell because of the penalty of sin, which is death and eternal separation from Christ. That's a big deal, heaven, hell. We need to share that. That light must come out of us in everything that we are. It should just habitually come out of it. And this call out in verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. We're not living out the truth. This truth and this holiness that we're trying for in our walk with Christ, each and every one of us, that must come out. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, it must come out. It's not being judgmental, right? It's not shoving your religion down their throat, so long as you share it with gentleness and respect, right? And the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, just like he did with Moses, right? He'll be there. He'll give us the words to say. And then amongst us Christians, we have a responsibility to each other and our family here to help each other. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, when it says brothers and sisters, it's talking about in the context of us as Christians, right? So brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So that word restore in the Greek is kartizo, and that means to complete. You complete me. but that's what we're supposed to do, right? If you notice someone, a brother or sister, that's struggling, we have a responsibility to call them out. Now, I'm not saying like, sinner, you know, get on up here. Jordan, come on. No, I'm playing. And said not to cross Jordan in one of those songs, so I better not do that. But no, you know, if we see someone who's struggling and the Holy Spirit puts that on our heart, that burden, maybe you're supposed to be praying for them, you know, reach out to that person and say, hey, I just noticed, you know, you seem to be a little bit different or off, or you seem to be, you know, not the person, the version that I know of you. How can I be praying for you, right? Just to draw that out of them and to not do it out of fear, but out of love, right? But with gentleness and with respect. Second, but what if people don't like when I share the truth, even though I do it with gentleness and respect, I do it all right, what if they don't like it? What if they get mad at me? What if? Matthew 10:14, now this is Jesus when he was sending his 12. He says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town, shake the dust off your feet. So we can't let the fear, all the what ifs, paralyze us. And this is still a hard one for me in some context because, you know, some of our employers may have rules about that, first of all, right? If you're in the education system, there's rules about that. There's risk. But we also fear, like, what if they get mad? What if they're like seven sons of Siva here and we go at it? You know, what if? Just think about it for you. What are the what ifs? What kind of fears or what pause, what has kept you quiet? And know that that's not what we're called to do, right? We need to obey. We need to speak the truth if we say we're in the light with gentleness and respect. And the Lord will do what the Lord will do, right? I'm sure you've all been there, but you know, I've gone that distance with somebody and they just didn't hear it. It didn't work, I guess, or at least not now. And I just had to do that. I had to, you know, just kind of distance myself and let it go. But I trust that the Lord is going to do whatever he's going to do, and I'm happy that I was obedient, even though it was uncomfortable. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Get those butts out of the way, right? And get your butt speaking the truth. Didn't write that, but that kind of fits. So, but this whole speaking the truth, I don't want to, you know, downplay it that, well, you're saying, making it sound like it's so easy. But our God knows us. He knows our heart. He knows where we are. And, you know, come to him in prayer. Ask for the words to come to you, the boldness. But bottom line is, we can't speak the truth if we don't know it, right? You can't be an expert in your field if you don't study the field that you're in. I could not go off about IT. You know, I just don't know it, okay? Hockey, different story, right? So, you got to spend time in it to know it and to be able to speak it. And what's really awesome, I'm sure you guys have experienced this, when you deposit that word of God in you, the Holy Spirit will use it. You'll be quoting scriptures like, wow, is that me? Praise the Lord. So trust in the Lord and he'll use you. And I got to leave you with this last passage that just, I couldn't put it in better words to challenge you. And with this, we'll be done. And this is in 2 Timothy 4:1-2. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy, by the way. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. We have to speak the truth. Amen? We have to speak the truth with boldness, with gentleness and respect. And again, one last time, if we don't study, if we don't spend time in the word and know what the truth is, we can't speak it. We can't share it, right? We have an amazing inheritance. Let us share it. Let's speak the truth. Amen?